Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Episode 1, New Scientist, 8th of December. In this episode, we'll cover editorials commenting on the need to get into climate change, to address urgently climate change. And there's a series of articles relating to the editing of humans using CRISPR. There's a general report of the response to the climate, conference, and reporting what the experts say. There's a bit of an explanation of what CRISPR is. There is whether it will be taken up by the world, it's whether it was unethical. It's definitely unethical, because if you wanted to pull out of the trial, you had to pay back the researchers all the cost that they'd expended on you, so that's a bit unethical. This is why they chose HIV. Is that really necessary? What could it actually be used for? And finally, we've got general progress, much more sobering progress, about using pig heart transplants into humans. The fact that pig hearts are designed to be grown to be eaten, and therefore they grow inside these poor baboons. Bit of a story about these baboons which die, are looked after to the 90-day limit, and then sort of just left to survive after this. LIGO detects more ripples in space-time, and talks about more gravitational waves being picked out as they go through their data. So it looks as though they've got about 10 amounts of data. It'd be interesting that the statistics are statistical eventually. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Editorial by Emily Wilson, Climate Movement, byline, "We have time to save the planet, let's not blow it." For anyone with a keen sense of irony, the latest round of climate talks offer rich pickings. Not only is the meeting being held at Katowice, Poland, the coal mining capital of one of Europe's most coal-addicted countries, but the talks are also sponsored by a coal company, JSW. It's shameless about its motives. We hope our participation will contribute to the promotion of JSW as an environmentally friendly leader in the mining industry, said the president, Daniel Ozon. As a symbol of the rich and powerful attitude to climate change, you couldn't get more opposite. The world has already warmed by 1 degree and is all but committed to 1.5 degrees C, which scientists say is the maximum tolerable rise, but global carbon dioxide emissions are still growing. At a rate we're going, we'll get to 1.5 as soon as 2030, then watch it vanish into the rearview mirror as we hurtle towards 3, 4, even 5 degrees warming. Almost every day brings more bad news. In France, riots erupt over fuel tax rises to fund green energy. The World Meteorological Organization discovers that greenhouse gases are at a record levels. The UN says there is an enormous gap between what we need to do and what we are actually doing. President Trump scoffs at the government report warning that climate change is already harming people in the US. Biodiversity scientists warn of an enormous extinction iceberg. It still isn't too late. If you do everything, and we do it now, we have a shot at limiting warming to 1.5 degrees C. In other words, world leaders have a rare opportunity right now to actually save the world. That must be included in a concrete plan to get off fossil fuels. And inviting JSW doesn't inspire confidence that this is on the agenda. But now is really our last chance. We can't blow it. Second editorial. We humans have been shaping our own evolution for millions of years through changes in the way we live, eat, and reproduce. Oh dear, this sounds sick. Until now, such adaptations have depended on random nature of evolution taking thousands of years. CRISPR, which is clustered regularly interspaced palindromic replay repeats. The R is the class for repeats. This is in the DNA, as a sort of a landing pad for picking up the genetic guide RNA. There's another part, gRNA, which is inserted into the Cas9 gene, which then clips. The CRISPR gene editing method has a potential to change, giving us the power to fully take the reins of our genetic destiny and at speed. That sounds insane. No, I really disagree with this. Last week, Jianku announced he had created the first gene-edited babies using CRISPR to alter gene in human embryos, which I think is more that he's thumbing up his entire idea at science. This was shocking, given that most scientists believe genetic changes that could be passed into future generations is a line we aren't ready to cross. Now that we have crossed this line so casually, it's clear that careful regulations of such technology is required. Oh dear. But perhaps the greatest danger is that editing using CRISPR is not so easy. Too much regulation may risk pushing experiments like he's underground. Well, yeah. His work is yet to be independently verified, but even if his report of gene-edited twins turned out not to be true, a second case of gene-edited babies probably isn't too far behind. The interesting thing is that he got all the cells in one embryo and not all the cells in another. Oh, here we go. Yeah, he looks evil. I would actually possibly class him as an evil person. I think he might go down in history as one of the evil people. Okay. Okay, there's a short article and then the expert commentary. The CRISPR bombshell by Alice Klein and Michael Lepage. Xi Jianku shocked the world last week when he announced the birth of two gene-edited girls. Quote, "I feel proud, actually," so he thankful told his peers as he stood up to defend gene-editing twins before the second International Summit on Human Genome Editing in Hong Kong on the 28th of November. 2 days earlier, his experiment, the world's first reported birth following genetic modification of human embryos, have been revealed to the Associated Press news agency. Just a complete thing. Working in China, he says he has been using CRISPR gene techniques on human embryos to create people who are resistant to HIV. So far, this has resulted in two babies, twin girls, born in November. The experiment flies in the face of widespread agreement amongst geneticists that it's too soon to be attempting trials like this. There has been more than 60 meetings and reports on gene editing humans in the past 3 years. Most have concluded that it would be irresponsible to proceed with the clinical use of embryo editing until safety issues, which can include unwanted changes to DNA, can have been resolved. I really think this is also the whole issue of consent. A bit of a complex thing. While some researchers have used CRISPR to edit human embryos, these have been destroyed. He is the first scientist to implant any of the uteruses in the course of pregnancy. The resulting babies could be the first humans to one day pass on intentional mutations to their own children. Unknown impact. There hasn't been any independent verification of confirming his claims. You can imagine the ethical feeling of that person. They want to have a child, but they know that they're different from the human race. But his presentation at the summit appears to have convinced many in attendance. Among the scientific community, we're very sure, says Helen O'Neill at University College London, who was there. He told the packed audience that he had picked the gene called CCR5 because it's already well understood, the gene makes a protein that allows HIV to infect cells. Some people, mostly Europeans, have naturally occurring mutations in the gene that makes them resistant to some strains of HIV. He said that disabling the gene at the embryo stage may protect children from contracting HIV. It just means that you'll eliminate one thing of HIV. The approach was tested first in mice and monkeys, he told the summit, before he recruited 8 HIV-positive men and their negative female partners on this trial. One pair dropped out, But he was able to make 30 embryos from 7 remaining couples. Oh, God. That's 3 embryos a couple, roughly. No, 4 embryos a couple. He had managed to edit 70% of these using CRISPR to disable the CCR5 gene, and that he is proud of his work because there are millions of children at risk contracting HIV. In the question and answer session following his talk, David Liu, a researcher at Harvard University who was involved in developing CRISPR, remarked that the twins hadn't needed gene editing to protect them against HIV from their father. I just don't see the unmet medical need for these girls. I would say that's, I agree with him. And you can imagine if you developed it, the pain you'd feel. The CCR5 mutation are uncommon in the Chinese people, and Robin Lovell Badge and Francis Crick Institute UK, meaning that we don't know whether altering the gene could have unexpected effect on the twins. He also cited evidence that the CCR5 mutations can increase susceptibility to other infections like influenza and Nile West virus. I would say so. The twins appeared normal and healthy, he told the human the summit, sequencing DNA from their core blood, the placentas hadn't found any off-target mutations. He acknowledged that the twins whose identity hasn't been revealed will need years of follow-up tests to know for sure. His data also showed that one of the twins, only one copy of the CCR5 gene was successfully disabled, meaning that she is still susceptible to contracting HIV. I think there has been a failure of self-regulation by the scientific community, the chair of the summit, David Baltimore, at the California Institute of Technology, later told the conference. One of the main criticisms levelled at he is the secrecy under which he conducted the work. I would criticise him. He didn't register the trial with the voluntary Chinese clinical trial registry until early November. And he told the summit that the universities where he works, the Southern University of Science and Technology, was unaware he had used research money allocated to him to partially fund the trial. It isn't yet known at which institution or hospital he conducted the work, and it's unclear whether the participants were properly informed about the potential risks. Oh, God, this is ethical. Ethics gone mad, especially when they're doing other racial things. Like, was it the hands are being used to displace the Uyghur male? They're arresting the Uyghur males and putting hand men inside their families. He said he asked 4 experts to review the informed consent process, including unnamed professor in the US. That's not good enough. China's Vice Minister for Science and Technology, Xu Nenping, told Chinese media on the 26th of November that his trial blatantly violated China's relevant laws and regulations. Xu said he was ordered, he has ordered the trial to be shut down and the scientists involved to be investigated. Oh dear. At the summit, he said he has now submitted the details of his trial to the scientific journal so it can be subject to peer review. Well, earlier. The conference concluded a statement from the organisers saying that they continue to believe that using gene editing to make changes would be passed to future generation is irresponsible at this time. However, the committee added that should the risk be addressed, it may in future become acceptable when there is compelling medical need and no reasonable alternative. Wow. What the experts say. Quote, I'm shocked and disgusted by this news. This work sets a dangerous precedent unless there's a broad global rejection of the clinical process used. The global scientific community has rejected strongly with calls for verification and redoubled efforts to put in place criteria for the clinical use of CRISPR. That's from Jennifer Dorner, the University of California, Berkeley, who discovered the way to use CRISPR to edit genes. Quote, it's amazing that there's so many women involved in this. If twins and one or more pregnancies in progress are very healthy, then there will probably be additional germline editing clinical trials soon. We either allow or outlaw. If the latter, we may drive it underground just as it's moving from hypothetical speculation to rigorous testing. George Church at Harvard University, who helped develop the capability of CRISPR to be used in humans, obviously he's appealing for it. It has been appalling that the edited human babies were generated without the full engagement of the independent scientific and ethics experts. relevant regulatory institutions and the government bodies. His naivety about multiple scientific, medical, and ethical issues was very alarming to hear in person. David Liu, Harvard University, who developed the accuracy and versatility of CRISPR. The entire world faces the same challenge in regulating gene editing. This experiment is a mistake by a single researcher and doesn't represent what we in China stand for. I believe all of us will learn from it and raise our awareness of the ethical rules and regulations around scientific research. I really think there should be death penalties for this type of stuff. Ling Zhang, HIV researcher at Tsinghua University in Beijing. This case may be the trigger for countries to develop better oversight. I'm confident China will develop more effective oversight of gene editing. My own view is that China should adopt a licensing system similar to the UK, where certain procedures and research can be only carried out in certain institutions, and such research has to be reviewed by appropriate ethic committees. Rita Lee, expert on Chinese medical research and ethics in the University of Bergen in Norway. What is CRISPR? We've been modifying plants and animals for decades, but it hasn't been done by simply chucking in extra DNA into a cell, with no way of ensuring that it safely inserts itself into the genome. As a result, no one has tried this on human embryos, as there was no way to guarantee it was safe. Then came CRISPR gene editing, discovered in 2012. At its heart, CRISPR is a way of searching through 3 billion DNA letters in a genome to find a particular sequence. It used to take years and hundreds of thousands of dollars to design a custom protein to seek out a specific sequence. CRISPR proteins instead work on a guiding piece of genetic code to find the corresponding sequence of DNA. It's both cheap and easy to make a few guides out of RNA, sending CRISPR proteins to different target sequences. The most widely used CRISPR protein, called Cas9, cuts the DNA after binding the target. When the cut is repaired by the cell, bits of DNA gets added or removed at the ends. The term genome editing is a bit misleading, as CRISPR-Cas9 usually is disabled genes, inducing random mutations in this way. But the alternative forms of CRISPR-Cas9 are being developed, including base editors that chemically change one DNA letter to another, true genome editing that enables precise changes. This is crucial if CRISPR is to be used to treat conditions in adults. The first clinical trials of CRISPR are already underway in China, where immune cells are being altered to make them better at killing tumor cells in people with advanced cancer. The potential power of such approaches was demonstrated in 2015 when more expensive non-CRISPR form of gene editing saved the life of Lale, a one-year-old girl in the UK who had leukemia. Well, that's interesting. That's going to be a very interesting thing. I bet I'll be cured by CRISPR eventually if they want to save me. Continued. A Brave New World by Claire Wilson. The first gene-edited babies raise questions over the ethics and purpose of this unprecedented trial and what to expect next. The worldwide shock after the announcement of the birth of the gene-edited twins isn't just because it may be a scientific first. The scientist who led the work, He Jiankui, has also been wildly criticized for acting unethically towards the couples of the babies involved in the trial. I would agree. The biggest concern is that he used a technique that hasn't had enough safety testing. One of the main problems with CRISPR technique is that it can cause unintended off-target mutations elsewhere in the DNA that may be harmful. The fear is that particularly pertinent when it comes to editing whole embryos, unlike gene editing treatments for the cancer, for example, which alter only some cells. Using CRISPR on embryos has potential to change the DNA in every cell of the body, what it only does. Now, this includes those that will go on to produce eggs and sperm. Such germline editing is ethically difficult because these artificially induced mutations and their unknown effects on health may be passed to the next generation and ultimately become part of the human gene pool. The idea that harmful mutations could start accumulating in future generations is the biggest fear to most people about gene editing embryos. I've got other fears. He says that two babies don't have off-target genetic changes, but many CRISPR experts think it's too soon to say. Even if the twins seem healthy, it is possible that an undetected random genetic change could, for instance, make them prone to cancer later in life. The rare, naturally occurring mutation he is attempting to mimic stops some of the strains of HIV from entering his cells by disabling the protein CCR5. People with two copies of CCR5 that make this protein. But in the embryos, only one copy was disabled. This means the twins are still vulnerable. No, I think in one of the twins, I think she missed it. One of the twins has one copy. This means the twins will still be vulnerable to HIV, prompting many to question why the embryo was implanted. This baby has been exposed to all the risks of gene editing, but before a seemingly little benefit. The second embryo has both copies disabled. That's okay. So it's one embryo. So it may have protection from at least from some HIV strain, but none of the CRCR mutations induced in the twins are identical to the natural variant. It's possible that any one of the mutations could have an unintended effect, says Sean Riddle of the University of Massachusetts. It's irresponsible to implant these embryos. Responding to such criticism, he has said that the response to the physical parents were informed of the risks and chose to go ahead. But the questions have been raised over whether the couples fully understood what they were agreeing to, because we don't. He has shared online a form that he says was used to obtain consent of the couples. The form's wording includes several red flags for medical ethicists, including stipulation that couples would have to repay their treatment costs if they left the trial. According to global research standards, trial participants should feel free to pull out of the studies without reprisal. It is these issues that have led widespread commentation of many of his peers worldwide. According to the organisation committee of the last week's gene editing summit in Hong Kong, where he spoke about the trial, the procedure was irresponsible and failed to comply with international norms. It just sounds insane. Why was HIV the first targeted of gene editing? By Claire Wilson. And this is a game by her. When presenting his works at the Global Gene Editing Summit, He Jiankui noted that the medical seriousness of HIV infection, saying he was proud of his efforts to use CRISPR to create infants that may be resistant to the virus. Its HIV is so dangerous that it warrants such a drastic step, certainly. The toll of HIV infection is high in some parts of the world, but advances in antiviral medicine over the past decade means that people with HIV who have access to good health care now have a close to normal lifespan. HIV-positive fathers who took part in the trial are reported to have had their virus under control, suggesting these men have access to such drugs. Gene editing doesn't offer HIV-positive men their only chance to have unaffected children. Current treatments for HIV push the level of virus down so low that a person's partner or future offspring aren't at risk of infection. Furthermore, the experiments use a washing technique to remove HIV from the sperm before it was used HIV, meaning that even without drug treatment, no virus could have made it to the embryos. If the aim was to protect the children from acquiring HIV from adults, a simpler, a safer medical intervention is already available to some. Taking some of the antivirals used for treatment as a preventative, in certain Western cities, this PrEP strategy is contributing to a tumbling rates of infection among gay men. It can be argued that it would be easier not to have taken such medicines. If we reach a stage where editing embryos becomes routine, could the modifications made by he be worth including? It seems unlikely, because mutating CCR5 gene, as he did, doesn't give complete protection against all strains of the virus. People would still need to be prevented from steps such as using condoms and PrEP. He used his choice of gene was about the stigma and still surrounds HIV rather than fulfilling any real medical needs, says Deborah Gold of UK's National AIDS Trust. It's he's just a complete thing. Next article. Can we expect many more CRISPR babies to come? The first IVF baby, Louise Brown, was born in 1978, but before she was even born, more than 5,000 couples had applied to undergo the procedure. 40 years on, there are 8 million children having been conceived with IVF. We can expect a similar opening of the floodgates for gene editing. Following He's Jiankui's announcement, the birth of the first two babies to have gene editing as embryos. Certainly, how long is it for the embryo? Certainly not right away. Gene editing of embryos has potential to affect many generations. Such germline genome editing is illegal in many countries. Just about every expert worldwide agrees that it is far too soon to use CRISPR gene editing techniques to use this trial to create edited children. The field is going to have a massive backlash, says Gretchen Berger at the Australian National University. The question is, just how bad will it be? Opinion falls into two camps. Some would like to see germline editing banned, but there are plenty of researchers who support the idea of using it to prevent disease when safety of such techniques has been established. Quote, just as the first step into the new technology are missteps, that doesn't mean we shouldn't step back and think of a plausible pathway for clinical translation. George Daly of Harvard Medical School told last week's Gene Editing Summit in Hong Kong. Those who have been campaigning against germline editing have responded to the scandal with a push for tougher regulation. Around 100 people, including some scientists, signed a letter calling for the government and the UN to ban all reproductive experiments with human genetic engineering. Research involving modifying human embryos with CRISPR is already being done in several countries, including China, US and UK. Getting permission and funding for such work, which can help determine the safety of the technique, could become harder. Such research is just the first step. Quote, even if safety issues are resolved, public acceptability will vary from country to country, Alta Chara at the University of Wisconsin told the summit. Before his announcement that support did exist in several countries, one survey found that more than half of the Chinese public supported using germline editing to treat diseases, including preventing HIV. Only time will tell whether the scandal put a dent in this support. Much may depend on the twins. Will we ever get to see them? Will they grow up to be healthy? Back in 1978, the sight of baby Louise helped to win over many of those who were opposed to IVF. But most of all, there are compelling reasons for would-be parents to try IV despite the unknown risks. It was their only chance of having a child. By contrast, few would-be parents will be desperate for gene editing. So why is it possible some rogue teams may try to create more edited babies? We are unlikely to see widespread adoption of the practice. Far from opening the gates to more gene editing children, his experiment could instead delay the arrival of more rigorous trials and techniques, Michael LePage. What could we use gene editing for? He, Junko, tried to use CRISPR to make individuals immune to HIV, but many believe the most compelling case for gene editing before birth is to prevent genetic disorders. Most disorders caused by mutation of a single gene, such as cystic fibrosis, can readily be prevented. One way of doing this is to screen IVF embryos for harmful mutations before implanting them. However, such pre-implantation genetic diagnosis has limitations, particularly when you need to inherit your mutations from one parent to develop a condition, as in the case of Huntington's, a neurological disorder. If one parent has the condition, half the embryos will carry the gene, halving the couple's chances of successful having children without the condition, through IVF. Some mutations, including the cancer-causing BRCA1, can affect fertility, meaning women produce fewer eggs per IVF cycle, lowering their chances of success. Embryo screening is also of little use if the aim is to prevent children inheriting more than one harmful mutation, as the chances of finding a healthy embryo in such cases is much lower. In all cases, using gene editing to repair mutations in embryos rather than discarding them would increase the couple's chances of having children. Gene editing could also help men who can't produce sperm due to mutations of the cells that make sperm. Correcting these mutations may restore fertility, some which have been done in mice, but isn't yet possible in people. We all have thousands of harmful mutations that make us more prone to cancer, heart attacks or dementia. In principle, everyone could live longer, healthier lives if these were repaired, but we are still a long way from being able to achieve this, by Michael LePage. A lot of writing going here. I don't think they've really got the generalised disgust at this. Here's something a bit more interesting by Chelsea White, a step closer to pig organs in people. There you go. Genetically modified hearts have been successfully transplanted into baboons for the first time. The monkeys lived for at least 90 days, suggesting research could move on to human clinical trials. Especially the hope is that pig organs could help fill the gap between the need for transplant and the lack of donors. Bruno Racker, the Walter Brundle Center for Experimental Medicine in Germany, and his team used pig hearts modified to produce human proteins to block the carbohydrates that pigs have but primates don't. Both reduce risk of rejection. So, human proteins are not producing carbohydrates. What is an organ doing producing carbohydrates? That's beyond me, Shkreeze. They found successful transplantation required blood to be pumped through the heart even when it was in the journey from the pig's chest to the baboon's. Without that step, the first five baboons' hearts only survived between a day and a month. These animals, the left ventricle of the heart failed even after high doses of hormones were given to stimulate it. Oh dear. The next group of four animals, the team pumped up the solution of glucose, hormones, and red blood cells through the hearts for the time they were taken out of the pigs to the implantation of the balloons. One balloon was lost due to technical failure, but the others lived from 18, 27, 40 days respectively. So they still got to introduce something else to get up to that 90 mark. When the team examined the hearts of the animals that died, they found that the organs in the second group had more than doubled in weight, and that this is because pigs reach adult weight faster than baboons. The heart must grow to support a fast-growing body, and the genes are not switched off when you transplant it into a baboon. The pig heart sinks, it's still inside the pig, and doubles in size within a month. To stop this, the team used a drug called prepromycin, which blocks the growth of hormones. In the third group of five baboons, that made a difference. Four of the five were healthy for 90 degrees after transplant, which was when the experiment ended. Oh, God, if you're a pig, oh, God, a baboon. The fifth was healthy for 195 days. Guideline, what? Oh, I don't understand. Guidelines for the International Society for Heart and Lung Transplantation, ISHLT, says 60% of the animals in such a study should survive for 90 days before human trials. That's, I'd say, more than that, mate. These successful transplants had been followed up with continuous intravenous infusion of growth hormone blocker through run, it says, humans could take orally. Although the experiment's achievements, a survival guideline suggests that HLT in 2000... it is very likely that the national regulatory authorities require longer survival today before approving the clinical trials, said David Cooper at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, who helped lay out the guidelines. He says the medical hearts and the mechanical hearts are being used with increasing success, which may affect the decisions to use pig hearts. I go for mechanical hearts. Ryan says a patient who has difficulties with mechanical hearts may be the first to get pig hearts. But before then, he says, we still need to genetically modify and breed pigs to reduce the risk of microorganisms being introduced to the human body via the transplant. Okay. LIGO detects more ripples in space-time. Astronomers say they have found four more gravitational wave events as a result of massive objects colliding. The new announcements from the team at LIGO, gravitational waves observed, it's probably not, they've, by looking through the old data, I don't think it's a new data coming out, in the US, follows the heels of several initial detections reported over the past 3 years. Those were from collisions of one pair of neutron stars and four pairs of black holes, plus one suspected signal from another pair of black holes. So that's five signals. Okay. Now LIGO confirmed that four additional events, all black hole collisions, were picked up as a result of going through the data from early observations. It also says that the suspect signal was a detection. One of the few new signals involved with the gravitational waves created by the merger between a black hole about 34 times the mass of the Sun and one 50 times the mass of the Sun, making it the most massive black hole LIGO has seen in the far. It must be a huge distance, though. The size is curious because a single star is unlikely to be capable of collapse to form a black hole that big. Okay, so it's going to be huge. Says LIGO team member Nielsen Chiston at Charlton College in Minnesota. Quote, It's a limit to what you might expect from stellar evolution, he says. In October, New Scientist reported concerns that LIGO's observations may not actually prove that it has spotted any gravitational waves. No, I think it's just one they want to question about. Because the questions are the techniques it uses to analyze the noise of its detector. LIGO's team plans to release a formal response to the controversy in the near future.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.